You might be turning in your Bibles to Psalms 91, verse 11 through 13. It is a prophecy about Christ that we're going to read in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, and verse 6, also in the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 10, and verse 11. You'll find a reference to this prophecy in the Psalms, and you'll see how that it has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. So this prophecy concerns Christ, tells us something about Him and about the work that He would do when He came into the world to bring about our redemption. So let's read now from Psalms 91, verse 11 through 13. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. That's the part now that's quoted there in the New Testament in Matthew 4 and 6 and Luke 10, verse 10 and 11 of the fourth chapter. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Still a prophecy about Christ. So watch the 13th verse. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you just to look over this sign of Scorpio and the three constellations that go with it. And just for a few moments there, you'll see a scorpion, you'll see a serpent, you'll see a man struggling with the serpent. You'll see the crown that we talked about the last time, corona, out of the Libra sign that we talked about the last time. And then you have Hercules up there at the top. And while you can't see it, in the next one, one of his feet is on the dragon. And throughout the Bible, the dragon is a term used of the devil. Revelation chapter 12, quite a number of times you'll find the statement there about the dragon. Well, you can probably make some deductions of your own here. Here is Hercules fighting with a three-headed serpent. And here then is another man that has a serpent in his hand. And then there's the scorpion down underneath there. You got the serpent and the scorpion. So looking at the signs of the zodiac, we started out with the Virgin, our Virgo. And then we went on to the scales, Libra, the last time. And tonight we're going to talk about the scorpion, or Scorpio, as we usually call it today in our understanding of the signs of the zodiac. You remember how that Virgo pictured Christ as the coming seed of the Virgin. And then how that Libra concerned the price that the Lord Jesus Christ would pay for our redemption. Well, in the lesson tonight, we're going to see the conflict that was necessary in order for the virgin-born son to pay the redemption price. We're still unfolding the great story of redemption by Jesus Christ. And just bear in mind this prophecy there that I read in Psalms 91. And then we should perhaps read a parallel. While it's said of believers, it more or less shows the power that the Lord Jesus gives us because of this great victory and the conflict that He's engaged in. Look over there in the book of Luke to the 10th chapter and verse 19. And really I should read verse 18 also. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So now here's a time that the devil fell from heaven. And right in connection with that statement about the fall of the devil, in Luke 10 and 18, look at verse 19. Behold, I, that Christ is speaking, so therefore He's giving the power, and He has gotten the power by this conflict, you see. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now in the passage in Psalms 91, in verse 13, we see the conflict of our Redeemer with the forces of evil. But then in the passage there in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, we see how that as overcomers, we have entered into this victory that our Savior has wrought in our behalf. And that's what the sign of Scorpio will be all about tonight. Now, two of these are going to have to be put together. And the reason for that is they are together in the sign, if you'll look at them there. And so we'll consider the two of them together, though we will make some distinction. Let's start out, though, with the sign of Scorpio itself. And look at the word. I believe that you'll find that the thought there in that word is mortal conflict. Mortal conflict. The name of this sign in the Arabic and Syriac is Al-Aqab, or Al-Aqrab. And it means wounding, conflict, or war. You'll find that David in Psalms 144 and verse 1 used the same root word out of the Hebrew there that is used in this sign, in that he uses the word war. God had blessed his hands to fight a war, he said. So the thought of war or conflict is in this word Scorpio. In the Coptic, it is Izidus, which means attacked of the enemy. And that's from the same root word that occurs in Psalm 17 and 9, that also involves a conflict with the enemy. So I'm telling you that the idea of Scorpio is borne out in the Hebrew Old Testament. Now the principal star that is in this sign of Scorpio is Antares. That means wounding, cutting, or tearing. So you see, all that has to do with this sign of Scorpio involves conflict. And so I just call it mortal conflict. And it's speaking of the conflict that Jesus Christ had with the forces of evil in order to pay our redemption price and to bring about our eternal salvation. So that's what Scorpio is going to be about. Now let's go down and look at this man and serpent. That is surely going to be very important. You have serpents, and some of them there call it serpentitis, is another way of saying it in some of the tongues. And I believe the thought there is a conflict for the crown. Note the serpent's head is up toward the crown, and the man has a hold of him as if to try to pull him away from the crown, keep him from getting the crown. That's the idea in that sign. And then you have Orpheus, who is mentioned also there in that sign, and that is the evil one held, is the idea in that. Now, in the story that has come down to us from astrology and other sources, Orpheus was a mighty man, and he was depicted here in the heavens and in many of the traditions of the nations as a man that had a struggle with a great snake, and a man who was trying to keep the snake from seizing the crown. So if you want to look at that word Orpheus, you'll find out that it means the serpent held. That's what the man's doing. He's got a hold of the serpent. Now some of the other signs there, and you can look these up, the stars, some of them are listed here and some of them are not. But some of the stars in this constellation, you'll look at the chart, you can see some of them. The meaning of that is also important. Anyuk means encompassing. And it's remarkable how that in Psalms 22 and 16 you have the very thought almost that is in that name there concerning the work of Christ in our redemption. Look at Psalms 22 verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierce my hands and my feet. That's also a prophecy about Christ. And then you have the word Kelab, that means the serpent enfolding. And then you have another star named Raz El Agus means the head of him who holds. And then you have Megaros, which means contending. And then you have Threophus, that means treading underfoot. But in all of these, there's still that idea of a man at conflict with the serpent. And surely I don't need to go too far to tell you that that serpent is a symbol of the devil. In the Garden of Eden, when the devil wanted to tempt our mother, he came in a serpentine form. He appeared in the form of a serpent. And the serpent there lent, as it were, his body to the devil for the purpose of tempting mankind. That's why over here in the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent." God in the Bible calls the devil that old serpent. He's an old serpent because he goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, this expelling of the devil from the second heaven will not occur until the middle of the coming tribulation period. But nevertheless, even that act on the part of Michael and his angels that will expel the devil from heaven is all because of that overcoming work of Christ, redeeming man and redeeming this earth from the curse that had been placed upon it. So there can be little doubt but what we're seeing here in this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in conflict with the serpent. Let us add a little more. When God created man and put him up on the earth, he put him in charge of the earth. He gave him dominion. He made him a king over the earth. But the devil came in and took it over. He caused, as it were, the crown to fall off of the head of man, and he put it on his own head, and he became the prince of this world. And so all of the story of redemption is about man losing his dominion in this world. Losing his dominion, his crown, because of that old serpent, the devil and Satan. And the only one that is able to defeat the serpent is the Son of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think you're seeing here, in this man, you're seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is going to keep the devil from getting the crown. Instead, he is going to get the crown and wear it and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Despite all the attempts of the devil to gain the crown, the Lord will expel the devil out of this earth. He will whip him, as it were, put him in the abyss, and set up his kingdom and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that hasn't happened yet. The conflict's still going on. The man's still wrestling, as it were, with that old serpent, the devil. The battle's not over. It's still going on. Now, Ophiuchus is identified in Greek mythology with Aesculapius. And if you know anything about Greek mythology, he was the son of Apollos and Coronis. And he was worshipped as a god of health and healing. Have you ever gone to the doctor's office and noticed those two little snakes there on that medical symbol? You ever looked at them? I saw it this week again. Since I've been studying on this, it especially stuck in my mind. It's on the tags of doctors. It's up on the wall of their offices. And you have those snakes curled together there. You know what that is? That's a symbol that goes back to the star gospel. Though they have it in the corrupted form, no doubt. I would not question that. But nevertheless, that Ophiuchus, those serpents there, is a symbol there of the medical arts. And it always has been, as far back as we have any record. It goes back to this man called Aesculapius, who was identified in Greek mythology with Ophiuchus. And so I'm telling you, there's a symbol there between them. Have you ever thought about the number of times in the Bible that Christ is identified with healing? You know, he even spoke of himself as a great physician. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so he, in a sense there, was saying he was the only one that could heal the maladies of a man's soul or even heal his body, so far as that's concerned. Well, in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, when the Lord comes back to deliver the remnant of Israel, he is said to arise with healing in his wings. And then in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, and I want to read this verse because it is so important to this study. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was the healer. He was seen there as the healer. And then do you remember what was said when he read that passage out of the book of Isaiah? He's in the synagogue, and he stood up there on the Sabbath day, and he read the passage. He said, this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears? And what was a part of that prophecy? It was referring to him, the Messiah. Let's look at it there in the 18th verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is a healer. Look at that. To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And still again, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, we're told about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told by his stripes we are healed. Healed. So a number of times in the Bible, Christ is set forth as the healer. So really this man is killing the serpent that has that deadly, devastating sting. He's seen here putting him out of business, bring about healing to all the hurt of his people. And so there you have in the Star Gospel a great presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his struggle with that old serpent called the devil and Satan. But now look more closely at this man. He's got his foot there on the scorpion, but he's got the other foot lifted up. That foot's lifted up. It's not seen being solidly on the ground the way he's standing there. That foot's lifted up. Why? As if it's been stung by the scorpion, or bitten by the serpent, as it were. So Christ is seen with one foot lifted up from the serpent's tail, as if he had been stung or hurt. And yet, the other foot is crushing the head of the scorpion. Showing how that Jesus will crush the head of that old scorpion that has bitten the whole human race and implanted the venomous sting of sin to us all. He's going to destroy him. That was a prophecy in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And Paul in Romans 16 and 20 said, the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And so that's what we have to look forward to, is entering into this victory that Jesus Christ engaged in that great conflict that he might win the war, as it were, for us. And then let's go on to look at this fellow called Hercules. Ever since I was a little boy and studied Greek mythology, I've always had a special desire to be better informed about this man Hercules. But only today did I fully understand what Hercules was all about. Hercules was a corruption of the story of redemption. I know from having studied Greek mythology that Hercules was known as a very great, powerful man. And like I said, he's got his head there on Draco, or the great dragon, if you would put the rest of the stars in there. But here's a mighty man that's on his knee with his heel lifted up as if wounded. Look at it again. His heel's lifted up and one foot's on the ground. He's got that foot on the ground that's down there on the head of the dragon. Again, showing the Lord's victory over the devil. But remember that the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 said that the devil would bruise the heel of Christ. And that bruising of the heel is seen in both of these presentations of the star gospel. So we're seeing here how that Christ is going to destroy the work of the devil. There's much in the Bible about that. And let's take a few moments to look at some of it. Over here in the first epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Put his foot on the head of the scorpion. Kill the snake. And hold his foot on the head of the great dragon. That's what we're seeing in this. Remember, again, the prophecy in Genesis 3:15 said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And when you bruise the head of the snake, that's a fatal blow because that'll kill him. That's how you kill him. You bruise his head. So that means the complete devastation of the devil and his kingdom is eventually to be brought about by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think about a statement in the 16th chapter of Luke. Jesus was especially, I believe, here referring to his crucifixion and referring to this conflict that the sign of Scorpio predicts. And so in the 16th chapter of John, in verse 11, Christ said, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Well, then there is a judgment going on the part of Christ against the devil. And really, ever since Genesis 3:15, the devil has been a defeated foe. But the conflict is going on. The war is not over, but the victory is sure. There's no question about that. But the conflict is still going on. I remember as a young boy when I studied about Hercules that I remember how that he had this battle with the three-headed snake, and also he was known as a god begotten into a man. That's also a part of the legend about Hercules, if you've studied it. But anyway, he's especially seen in conflict with various ones. The wild bull of Crete, that's one of the stories about Hercules. And again, I see the conflict there between Christ and the devil. You remember over there in Psalms 22, it talked about the bulls had encompassed him and all of that. Well, I can see a little bit in that. But anyway, I remember the thing that's pictured here, this three-headed snaky creature. That three-headed snaky monster, whatever you want to call him, was the one in Greek mythology that was the keeper of Hades. In other words, he was the guard of the gates of hell, as it were. Well, remember that Jesus, by his death, burial, and resurrection, came out of the grave and said, I have the keys of Hades and death. So then he was victorious. He murdered with that club, that old three-headed monster, that serpent. And he's seen up there pictured in the star gospel doing just that. You know, one of the things that's always amazed me about Greek mythology is that in reality, the Greeks did not really understand what this image of Hercules represented. That's right. This proves that it had the meaning that I've given rather than what they supposed. Their legend is a corruption of the revelation about the star gospel. And so we need to take away all of that heathenism and just look at what is presented in the Bible. One of the men who was a great Greek poet, incidentally he was the one that the Apostle Paul quoted in the 17th chapter of Acts when he gave that sermon there to the Athenians on Mars Hill. But anyway, this Artaras wrote a poem about Hercules, and he said, an image known certainly to none. That is, he didn't fully understand it, nor did the other Greeks. Nor what he labors for. So in substance, in that poem, he said, I don't know what he labors for, and I'm not sure what the meaning of it is. Well, they knew about the man, and they knew about this three-headed snake, but they didn't know why he was trying to kill the snake. Now, they completely understand what the man was all about. They had a little truth, but not much truth. We need the Bible to give the rest of the story, as it were. You know, as I see all of this conflict about our Lord with the devil, I'm certain as I stand here tonight that that conflict will go on as long as there's a godly man this side of heaven and as long as there's an ungodly man this side of hell. It'll go on as long as the devil and his angels are loose on the earth. It'll go on so long as the devil has some power and dominion in this world. So what I'm telling you is that sometimes we look at all of this unceasing conflict between right and wrong, between good and bad, and it rages on every hand all around us. There's always somewhere creeping in, as it were, the scorpions and the adders. The serpents come in to hiss. They come in to bite and to plant their venom in all the things that we try to do for God in this world. There's always an adder. There's always a scorpion. There's always something to come and harass us when we set out to serve God. And so we say, well, look like we're engaged in everlasting toil and suffering, and it seems as if it's never going to come to an end. But it will. It will. The conflict is still going on. Eventually, the Lord will completely kill that old serpent. Now, there are going to be a lot of pains and trials for us before that time. But he's going to kill that old serpent eventually. And the conflict will be over forever. No more will we fear that roaring lion, the devil, but we'll tread upon lions and upon adders and upon serpents. So God and truth, right and good, will triumph in the end. And the important thing is that we enter into that victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we too may be able to carry out the prophecy there that we read to you about in Luke, the 10th chapter, when it said there, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So it was predicted of our Lord that he would tread upon the lion and the adder. And the adder is a poisonous snake of Palestine. Some translate that to black serpent there. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. "The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet." The Lord said it would all be so. So in order to enter into this victory, in order not to lose our crown, as is seen in this story tonight, we need to carry out the words of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. "Hold fast which you have, that which you have, that no man take thy crown." So we too must engage in the conflict. We must battle our adversary, the devil. And we must enter into that victory that our virgin-born Redeemer is bringing to pass for his people here in this world. Well, I trust you may have gotten something out of this sign of Scorpio that speaks of the toiling Redeemer. The toiling Redeemer. That's what it's all about. He's toiling to bring about our everlasting salvation. Well, that's our lesson.